Welcome to Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. My name is Evan Dorian, and I'm your host, joined by co-host Craig Cook. And it's time to elevate the mind, body, and spirit. My Empowered World is here to inspire, transform, and empower the human experience. And we help you achieve this by providing empowering experiences through content, products, tools, and service that elevate the mind, body, and spirit, resulting in a world that becomes a better place for everyone. So be sure to check out our website at MyEmpoweredWorld.com and sign up for our free daily empowerment emails. And also follow us on our social network channels. We're very active on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And once you like us, that will get you connected into our ecosystem and empower your world daily. So we've got our empowering store that we just launched not too long ago. We've got hats and T-shirts that you can wear while doing your yoga, going for a run, or working out at the gym, or just hanging out around the house. Either way, check it out, myempoweredworld.com/shop. So we've got a longer show tonight. So if any of our listeners have any questions, please feel free to post them on our Facebook wall, and we'll try to answer them before the end of the show tonight and kind of incorporate those into the show. So, Craig, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Evan. I'm doing pretty good. You know, last week was, or since the beginning of the New Year, it's been really busy. Last week I was over at the CES conference in Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show, for anyone that doesn't know what CES stands for. And that's quite a show. So all kinds of cool technology and gadgets and just amazing things. And it was really neat. But I have to say, though, I am a little bummed out this week, starting late Sunday night. Finding out about the passing of David Bowie. I was pretty bummed that he was a major inspiration in my life, from his creative genius and his music, and just even as a successful businessman, he was just, if you want to talk about someone who was empowered, he made his own rules and did it his way, and he's just really gave a lot to the world. So a little bummed out about that, but otherwise, yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you know, that was a surprise waking up the other day and seeing that. My social media channels were pretty much flooded with all of that news. But
yeah,
same for me. I think it was actually one of my first shows I ever went to as a kid was the David Bowie show. This friend of ours, who's an older friend of mine, took me to a show, and he asked my mom, hey, can I take him to a David Bowie show? And she was kind of nervous at first, and then she's like, okay, take him. And I'll never forget, they had these big balloons with faces projected on the balloons while he was singing in the middle. It was totally wild. I'll never forget
that's
it.
Awesome.
But, he pioneered, you know, a lot of great music and did some pretty empowering things for sure. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, he'll be resting in peace, and we just have to give him thanks for everything he gave.
Yep. Now, let me ask you real quick, back to this. Is it the show that you were just in Las Vegas? Did you see any empowering kind of technologies that are coming out that really blew you away, that are going to be up in the forefront here in the next couple of years with, you know, technology, anything that stood out?
You know, there was a lot of technology around digital health that seems to have matured quite a bit over the past couple of years. So I was there a couple of years ago. Now it seems like there's more companies that are in that space, and they're more involved, more mature, another mm-hmm. level of sophistication. A pretty cool one, I forget the company, but they are, rather than just measuring all the general vitals, how many steps you walked and, you know, all the things like Fitbit, it actually would measure the level of performance that you're getting. So, like, how high you jumped, how much pressure is in your movement, and just a variety of things that are all about, you know, true athletic performance. I think you would get a big kick out of that one. It was pretty cool. And then there's some other things, too, like – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go on. I love that stuff.
I feel
like it's technically not there yet, though. I still feel like it needs a little bit more advancement in that field, but
yeah,
I think
does.
It's great
it,
where
it
it's going.
Does. Yeah, and they're definitely getting further along than they were a couple of years ago. But it does have a ways to go still, like you said. And another cool thing was I know the guys over at Segway, and they did a whole new brand launch and reinvented themselves, and they came out with a whole bunch of new products and made some big announcements with Intel and Google on a robotics platform. It's pretty wild, so you can have a Segway following you around, like as you're running, and filming you while you're running, for example.
What?
I guess if you're, yeah, it's pretty wild.
Wow, the selfie run.
And if you're tired, then you just get on the Segway and take that home, you know, depending on how far you go.
No way.
Yeah. So there's some pretty cool stuff there.
Yeah, that's wild. Wow, I can't believe it. That is, the future is going to be absolutely crazy with all this new technology. Yeah.
It is. There's a lot of robotic stuff, actually, at the show. And digital health, robotics, 3D printing, you know, still getting bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one thing which I need to send you a picture of, the actual 3D holograms, just like in the Star Wars movies. Really wild. Crazy.
Wow. What about AI, artificial intelligence? Do you see any bit of that kind of coming into the forefront?
I didn't come across
a lot of talk,
but it was probably there. I really didn't get to the whole thing. I mean, we went to one big hall, and then went to another hall, a portion of it. But I was so busy with a variety of meetings and running around, I only saw maybe a third of the whole show. But it was
good. Cool.
It was good.
Well, good. I got to get there next year for sure. That's on my calendar. Places to go.
Absolutely.
To do this for sure.
Absolutely. How's your new year been, and how's everything going on your end?
Things are going great. New Year's was fun with some good buddies of mine. We had a great time, and then been getting back into surfing. Waves have been good here in Newport, so that's been, you know, trying to get the health going this year strong, and feels good to get back in the water and stretch it out a little bit and kind of get going. Want to jump into the show?
Yeah, let's do it. We're excited to be speaking with one of our contributors for the first time on our show.
Yes, she is an empowering contributor, and she is amazing guest tonight, and her name is Emma Milden. And let me give you a little overview on Emma. Emma is a spiritual personal assistant, and she's currently a number one best-selling author in the spirituality section. And her new book is The Soul Searcher's Handbook. So definitely check that out. It's at all, like, the Barnes & Nobles, all the bookstores. It's actually sitting right here next to my computer. Great book. In the book, she shares her wisdom that she learned from her travels. She had some amazing travels. We're going to learn about that here in a second. But she got to interview gurus, shamans, all types of teachers that she connected with across the globe to help educate readers on everything New Age living. So what's up, Emma? How are you doing tonight?
Hi, guys. Welcome. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Yeah. It's great to have you on Empowering Radio. This is a long time coming.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's exciting to be calling all the way from down in New Zealand. So we've got a lot of empowering fans down here and down under. So, we're really excited that you've included a Kiwi on the show. So thank you for having me.
Yes,
awesome. Of course.
Yeah, and you're the lucky one because it's your summer right now. So we're a little chilly here, but it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Awesome.
Yeah, one of these days I want to make it down to New Zealand. Definitely on my bucket list. It's one of the places I want to go. I heard it from several people. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Wait, is that true?
We have rolling hills, waves, mountains, snow, surf. It's all here. So, yeah, you come. I think the Prime Minister would pick you up from the airport. We're very down to earth down here. So, yeah, more than welcome.
Awesome.
Well,
great.
Emma,
well, Evan, should we get into it?
Yeah. Yeah, Emma, why don't you give our listeners just a little background about yourself? So just a kind of an overview, and then we can kind of go into some of these questions that we have for tonight's show, just so they can kind of get a little background about you.
Sure. Okay. So I am your typical girl next door. I surf. I love to work out. I have a job, and in my spare time, I love to write. And what happened was I, just like many of the listeners, decided to explore a more empowered life, living more new age and holistically. So I started to make conscious decisions about what I was consuming and how I was living and exploring sort of ways to live well. And as
What age was that when you kind of came to that point in your life?
Oh, I was young. I was in my early 20s. I guess some would call me like a bit of an old soul. About to hit 30 and I'm pretty much a grandmother. I love to be in bed by 10 o'clock. I was pretty young and I traveled, obviously, as you mentioned. And as I traveled, I explored different types of ways to live holistically, whether that was yoga or meditation or, meeting different healers and having different experiences, reading different books. And, I very quickly realized that I could write about this and share my experiences and help people sort of get spiritual life hacks that I had learned from in terms of my my spiritual faux pas, I guess you could say. And as I began to write, and, one of the first places I actually write was for my empowered world, I began to realize that more and more people would come to me for spiritual advice, whether that was, hey, what books would you recommend? Or, have you tried Reiki? What is it like? And what type of yoga would you recommend for a beginner? And so I self-appointed myself probably a position that not many people would go for. I wasn't the conch boss or guru. I decided that I was a spiritual personal assistant, like a PA for the soul, in terms of the fact that I very much report for spiritual duty. I help organize people's spiritual living and help them get their new age holistic life in order. And so for me, the spiritual PA happened, and I just organically began writing about spiritual living.
I love
that
spiritual
term, assistant.
PA.
It's
so great.
It is. It really is. Because it's so, when you think of the old traditional terms like a guru, or even if more mainstream, like a priest, it's just this connotation of, this hierarchy and stuff, an assistant, you're just there to help someone, because everyone's really on their own path and kind of really need to find their own way. And that's a great, great way to frame it up.
Yeah, totally. And especially for me, like, I felt like a lot of people that were coming to me were millennials, and I'm a millennial, and I don't know about you, but I hate being told what to do. So the idea of authority or having someone in a hierarchy didn't appeal to me or the people that I wanted to talk to. So it was very important for me to position myself as a peer.
Right.
Very cool.
So once you started this, your travels and everything, when did you kind of know that this writing this book, that the Soul Search book, when did it kind of all start for you in this travel process, When did you know that this was kind of the direction you wanted to go?
Yeah, well, it's so interesting because at the time I didn't realize that essentially I was researching for a book. At the time I was just doing my own little soul search experience. And what happened was I got an idea about a fictional book, which was called Journal of a Soul Searcher. And as I started writing it, I just found myself putting parts of my life in it. And it became very much nonfiction. And I decided this is something that I really wanted to explore. And so I started to research book publishers and how to write a book. And, it all began. I actually was really lucky. I won a writing competition. So that was my first clue in my journey to show me that maybe I could write. And I got flown to New York, and I got to meet some leaders in the publishing industry and really got taught about how to position myself in the world of spiritual living and in the spiritual and empowered living sort of industry. And that's where actually I got coached in terms of how to introduce myself to the world. And that's really where the spiritual PA came from.
So that opportunity opened those doors for you in a way, you think, or that
Definitely.
Helped maybe, yeah, that helped maybe get the Soul Searcher Handbook published? Yeah.
I thought it was going to get it published. At the time, I was convinced. So one of us, there's about 100 of us in this workshop. The workshop was called Movers and Shakers, and it was run by a publishing company called Hay House. And it was a chance for people to learn how to market, promote, and publicize their books and their services. And I was in my early 20s. I was in a room with Robert Holden, who was in the room with us, Nancy Liebman, Cheryl Richardson, and the CEO of Hay House, Reed Tracy. And at the time, I thought, here's my chance, because one of us in the room was going to get a Hay House publishing contract. What I didn't realize at the time was I was very much there to learn. I was a baby. I was probably 3 or 4 decades younger than anyone else in the room. And
yeah.
But what it meant was I was completely open to listening and learning and doing what I was told in terms of really looking up to the advice that I was getting. Yeah, and what I did was everything I was told, and it resulted in the Soul Searchers Handbook. So I'm so excited to talk to you guys and any other listeners about the process of getting published, because if the little girl next door from New Zealand can, then anyone can.
Yeah, and I think so many people, you know, I know a lot of our empowering contributors are all in that book process as well, and to have you being a number one best-selling author right now and going through that process already, I know they're all very interested to hear your story and your journey and how you came to the success and how you did it. You know, I think there's so many people that are trying to self-publish these days that just, you know, don't know how to do it or, you know, so any kind of insight that, you know, maybe you could provide to us, and then, you know, we can kind of, if you're okay with talking about that, but I think it's so interesting.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, great.
And sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a perfect time, I think, for us to take a quick station ID break, and then when we come back, why don't we delve into that topic. Does that sound good?
Awesome. I'm in.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Visit us at myempoweredworld.com. Become a subscriber and get daily inspirational messages delivered to your inbox.
All right, we're
back.
With Empowered. Yeah, go for it, Craig.
Yeah, we're back on Empowered Radio. It's the start of the new year, first show of the year, so we're coming off a little rusty from the past month, but it's all good. We're having a good time tonight with Emma Milden, our guest. She's a contributor to My Empowered World, but she's also a spiritual personal assistant and a best-selling author, and we're just getting into the topic of self-publishing. Emma has had success, and she had a lot of great insights to share with us. So, hey, Evan, why don't you kick it off with some of the first questions around that?
Yeah, I think definitely the first question, maybe we'll talk about the publishing process and kind of how you did it. And then once we kind of go through that, maybe we can dive into your book, because there's so many amazing things about your book that I want to talk about as well. So let's just start with kind of tell us maybe about the publishing process, you know, how it all started, because I know so many people are, you know, going through that challenge that have written books or writing books, you know, maybe just kind of give us an insight to that process.
Yeah, definitely. So I am going to bare my soul and be honest. The struggle is real. I got rejected from over 300 publishers, and it was a series of cut and paste order replies. Sent from probably receptionists, and I hit rock bottom. I was about to give up, as we do, and I was looking at self-publishing and sort of trying to look at my options. And what was interesting was I've been so focused on the way that it would look in terms of how I would get published and where I would get published, that I had actually missed so many other ways to crack an egg, I guess, in terms of getting a book out into the world. And so I all of a sudden just had an aha moment, one of those light bulb situations, and I realized that actually I could get a literary agent to help do all the work for me. You know, publishers don't really like to get unsolicited manuscripts. And actually, they don't even really want to get manuscripts. They want to get a book proposal. So I learned that actually I needed to write sort of like a pitch in terms of who I was, who my target market was, what my book was about, sort of competitive analysis about what book my book would be like and how it was better. It's sort of what I had to offer readers and why someone would want to publish it. Once I had a book proposal and an agent, I was away. I was going from, rejected from 300 people. Even the publisher that published me rejected me. So it's kind of ironic. But yeah, but it was just in terms of how I presented myself. So I had an agent and a proposal, and that's what got me in the door.
Wow. Now, you've got great branding with your book and your website and all that stuff. Did the agent help you with your overall branding? Or I feel like you've got great, like, artistic skills, I can tell, just from following you on Pinterest and everything. And so I feel like you implemented a lot of that as well. But where did the agent help with that, too, or...?
No, my agent was literally the person who made an email and made a connection. She's the guru with all the contacts. So I am really lucky. Like, a lot of my background in terms of my career, my degree, it's all focused around publicity and marketing and advertising. So those superpowers mixed with a talent to write and now a talent to get a message out into the world have been vital in terms of being able to create a book, get it published, and now market it. The publishing process for me, the easiest way to summarize it, and bear with me, I'll try and be ladylike about this metaphor, but it's essentially like having a child. So writing it is, you know, the conception of the baby, the creative seed, I guess. It's fun, it's effortless. It just sort of happens, and then next minute you have to edit. So you're editing, and it's almost like the pregnancy. So it's hard. You have days where you really just don't want to be involved in it anymore. You lose track of where you are. You question yourself. You're worried about people reading it. You're worried about reviews. And then your book is brought into the world, and then it's like a child. You have to nurture and nourish and feed it and guide it. And so that's where the ability to brand yourself and blog and promote and speak and blog and promote and speak is vital. And that's the recipe in order to become, for me anyway, my journey to a best-selling author is that combo of being able not just to write but to promote myself.
And it's an absolutely wonderful book. I love it. I think I'm just, cool. I love it. Yeah, I think it's so awesome. Now, a question. Now, with marketing, what did you feel like was the most impactful piece of marketing that, you know, was it that you came across that you just said, wow, this really works? You know, this really helps get my brand and message and book out there.
You know, I'm going to head on heart say that writing for My Empowered World started it for me. Yeah, and that's hand on heart, honestly, because for me, before I got published, it was really hard for me to get my work out there. And so the power of building a portfolio is really important. Say yes to whoever will help you get your work out there and try and to align with websites with your niche audience. So for me, I knew that My Empowered World has, you know, health, wellness, well-being, inspiration, spirituality. They encompass all of people that are likely to read my book. So,
That's so cool to hear.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's really true. And I think something that's been really important to me as I've gone on to get published and where I am now is to never forget where it all started from and to always appreciate the people that believed in you right at the beginning. And yeah, My Empowered World has definitely been a big part of my journey.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
That's when we hear stuff like this, that really helps make it worth it, all the effort and work that we put into this. It's just so cool to hear.
Yeah, it's a Definitely. Really good platform, really good platform for future writers. So, yeah, thank you for helping in my journey.
Yeah, that's what we do this for, to help people.
Now, I'm working with a few people that are actually in the process of writing books, and I've told them that guest blogging is very powerful. It's because it gets your name out there, it gets your brand, and people want to learn more about what you've got going on, and it's definitely powerful stuff. So yeah, I'd agree with you. That's a great way to get it out there. So I did have a couple questions from one of our friends, but you answered all those. So, let's jump into, is there any other thing, Craig, that you'd like to ask just about the publishing process or?
Well, I am curious, like on your website, it shows that you have an app. Did you do an app as a companion to your book?
No, I did an app pre-publication, trying to get published. And that's just, me sort of constantly wanting to teach myself new tricks. And I made my own website, I designed my own brand, I started to make my own emails, and sort of the next evolution to me sort of self-teaching myself was an app, and I did it. So yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. So empowered. That's great.
Yeah.
Emma, there's one question here. I don't know if you might have answered this. She asked, what do you think of bypassing the self-publishing house to go straight to the printing company?
Yeah, that was my journey. So I see. So in terms of saying, you know, finding an agent that self-publishes, you know, I would say go for it. If you can work with a freelance editor and get it proofread, you know, why wouldn't you just go and get it published yourself? You would save a lot of money. I think the only tip that I would really give is to be really careful around permissions. So a lot of self-publishers don't warn about the process of needing to get written permission to use other people's theories or quotes from other people's books. Mm-hmm. That's a really important process. And what happens is a lot of people self-publish, and then they want to promote their book, and a lot of people aren't willing to help promote it because it hasn't been correctly cited or permissioned in the back of the book. So I would say read up on that, or work with a freelance editor so that you've got that support. But yeah, I would go for it. That was definitely an avenue that I would have looked at if I had have kept on hearing no.
Great. I know she'll be very happy with that. So
great advice.
Great stuff. So let's jump into your book. This is, I absolutely, like I said, I love it. It's been next to my computer. I've been reading it. You know, any time I'm kind of hanging out, I just open it up, and it's got all the stuff that I love and I'm into. And it covers stuff from, you know, you through your journeys, you've covered all types of stuff. You met with all types of gurus and shamans and stuff. So you cover tarot cards, guided meditation, crystals, numerology, astrology, like your birth number astrology, feng shui, chakra cleansing and balancing, Akashic records. So just all the stuff. And you've kind of got, you do a woo-woo scale, and maybe you can kind of explain, you know, this process and how you explain the woo-woo scale. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, so I was very much in the spiritual closet when I began writing the Soul Searcher's Handbook. And people that I work with, because, you know, I have a career, I've got to pay the bills. You don't write a book to necessarily get rich. And the people that I work with knew that I was a bit of a, I guess, they would use different labels to describe me. I was like a surfy thumb, I was a hippie. And one of my favorites was I was woo-woo. And when I was writing the book, I thought about different people's opinions on spiritual and New Age living. And I thought, you know what, I need to write this in mainstream terms so that anyone can pick up the book and feel like they can relate to it. And so I read the book in a very no bias, no agenda, take what you like and leave the rest, very much a non-preachy approach to New Age living. And the woo-woo scale was sort of something that the publisher and I thought would be really fun to sort of give people a spectrum on where they sit on the spiritual scale of things. So, for example, a chiropractor might not necessarily be as woo-woo as, say, a Reiki session, but both of them can have health benefits for you, you know, or fun things to explore. So we sort of added that throughout the book to sort of give people an idea of how spiritual they could take it and how adventurous they ever wanted to get. And it's been really interesting. I've found people sort of giving a lot more things a go because the woo-woo scale has sort of challenged them, I guess.
Now, just for our listeners, I want to, real quick, just for our listeners, in her book, she has a woo-woo scale, and then underneath, right underneath that, it's explore it scale. And she's kind of got some stars next to it, you know, and like 10-star ratings. And so she rates either one on, you know, explore it scale or woo-woo scale. So that hopefully that will help explain it. But go on, Craig, what were you going to ask?
Yeah, I was just going to ask a funny question here. So what's at the top of the woo-woo scale?
I don't know how much of the book you've read. There's a few bits that I would be considered, you know, cosmopolitan field sections, I guess, in a spiritual way. But I would say top of the woo-woo scale for me is probably very different to probably some of the readers.
Right.
But for me, I think particularly having to research and try everything that I put in my book was probably crystals. And in terms of a whole array of how you can use them. Like you can wear them, you can put them in your bed or in your water or, you know, your drinking bottle, or you can, you know, put them down your bra or in more private places. So that blew my mind.
That's pretty up there.
Scale, yeah, it definitely made me out of my comfort zone. I actually remember doing a workout, like a big group fitness class. And I remember being so mortified because two crystals went flying out of my sports bra. And for me, that was sort of, that was woo-woo scale. That was probably a 10. I can hand on heart say that I have tried and tested spiritual living.
Now, what's on the other scale, what's on the top explore it scale
I would say that the easiest thing and probably the most mainstream thing that you could do probably tonight is feng shui. And feng shui, you've probably already been in a battle of good qi, good energy, because, you know, you move the couch and then you need to move the coffee table and then you move the TV and it just doesn't feel right. And that's feng shui. And I think if you can, one thing, focus on your bedroom, remove anything associated to water from your room. So, you know, if you have surfboards or pitchers of water or a fish tank, take it out of your room. If you have a living plant, take it out of your room. Everything should be balanced. So you should have two bedside tables, two lamps. It should be symmetrical. And particularly anything that you want to bring into your life should be on the left side of your room. So, for example, if you want to attract a partner, you might have a picture of a loving couple or five languages of love, like the book by your bed, or I don't know. Or say you want to attract abundance, you might have a few coins placed on the left side of your bedroom. So there's so much fun stuff you can do with feng shui. It's really fun to explore. If you have a partner, warn them, you'll probably drive your partner crazy. But yeah, it's good fun.
That is so awesome. I wish you was in Newport. We'd be best friends.
Well, do you know what? I'm coming to LA in July, and I'm making a beeline. I'm gonna head down California, and I'm gonna come meet you guys because you guys are just so much fun. I'm loving this.
Yeah, cool. That'd be great. I'd really enjoy that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, cool. So some of these other things that you've got on here, I mean, the book branding itself is great. They did a job. I guess the publishing company helped you with the overall branding. You've got some great charts in here as well. It's fun because, like, this book is, for me, it's kind of like I always had those, like, astrology books and stuff, like your birthday, and you can kind of, those bigger ones, you know, you can read. They've got all the information on it. But I feel like this is, like, the new version, and I really enjoy it because it's got more than just astrology on here. So it's got so many great topics it covers.
Exactly. Well, when I was writing it, I sort of wanted an encyclopedia. And I don't know about you, but I don't have heaps of time to sit down and read a whole book, digest a whole book in a sitting. You know, I'm very much a millennial, so I like to have little bites and digest little bits. So the book is really written so that you can open a page, learn something, close it, and come back 2 weeks later and open a page and learn something else. So I read it so that you don't have to sit down and read it in one sitting, which is fun.
Yeah.
It's way more easier to sort of take what you need from it.
Right, which I really like that. Because it's not like you have to just start this at the beginning and then go all the way to the end. You can just pick up anywhere in the book. You know, it's great. You know, go to sections that you want to learn more about and then come back to it. It's great.
Yeah, it's sort of like the book, like if you have a twinge in your knee and you want to find the spiritual meaning behind that, you can go and find the index, or you wake up and you've had a weird dream, you can go to the dream section and find out what that dream means. It's kind of like a good bedside table book just to sort of have on hand for at the end of the day, sort of look into deeper meanings behind things that maybe have happened.
Now in the book you also talk about festivals. You went to a bunch of different festivals and experienced those as well. Which one of those kind of stood out to you, and which ones, you know, I guess let's just go with which ones really stood out that you'd do again?
Oh man, I love Wanderlust Festival. It's so cool. It's almost like you're in the Neverland. You just walk around, strangers will give you a hug. Everyone's just so nice and kind and open. I think in one day I probably did 2 yoga classes, a dance class. I learned how to hula hoop dance and, you know, went to a workshop. It was awesome. It's such a take what you need, leave the rest. Community,
right.
House, fitness, it feeds the soul. It was so much fun. And, you know, as a festival, they're popping up everywhere. I think they're going to be in Chile. They're in, obviously, North America, Australia, New Zealand. But, yeah, if you make one festival on your bucket list for 2016, check out a Wanderlust. They are so much fun.
Now, if we were going to go to Wanderlust, how many people go to Wanderlust? Is there, like, 300 people, 1,000? Is it more –
I would expect to be in a yoga class with probably over 100 to 200 people. They've got multiple yoga classes and workshops on at any given time. So there's always a choice of different things that you can go and do and explore and try. What's cool about it, what surprised me, I was nervous about going because I do yoga. It doesn't mean I'm good at it. Like, I'm that girl that's, like, struggling down the back and sort of giggling because I'm there to give it a go. I'm so unflexible, you know, and I'm, you know, like the naughty kid in the back of the class. And everyone there was very mixed levels on their yoga scale, and I loved it. I felt so comfortable. I was worried about being the only person that couldn't do a headstand, and there are heaps of people that couldn't even touch their toes. So it was literally a festival for everybody. There was all ages. There was kids to, you know, elders, and it was, yeah, totally any expectation that I had was taken away when I walked in there, and any fear I had was taken away. And it's sort of a festival that if you have to go by yourself, that's a really good thing, because you will be by yourself for probably 5 minutes before you've made a friend or a connection. And it's like an alternative universe. It's bizarre.
So cool.
Greg, we're going to have to go to that.
I think so. You know, I think it's time for another quick station break, and then Let's come back here on Parian Radio with our guest tonight, Evan Meldon.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MyEmpoweredWorld. And remember to share and help us spread our message of empowerment.
All right, we're back on Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. And we're here with Emma Meldon and just talking about her book and publishing and a lot of good stuff tonight. So my question is, how many years of traveling and then, you know, putting all this stuff together, what was the most interesting holistic lesson you learned along the way? You know, anything that...
Yeah, I would say as a creative, the one that's probably been the most transformative for me was actually when the book was just about to be published. I think when you do something and you pour so much of your soul and energy and time, you've really sort of had to empower yourself to create it. It's natural for sometimes you to be quite territorial about it. And this was the biggest lesson I learned, was not to be. So I learned how to get over myself and actually empower other writers. So I had a situation, I saw a book come out about 3 months before mine. The cover looked exactly like mine. The topic was similar, and it broke my heart. I sort of, like, I'm human, and I'm also sometimes an irrational female, and I got really jealous and threatened and upset about this. And I sort of went through about 3 days feeling sorry for myself. And then I sort of realized that actually I felt like this because I felt I admired what the author had done. I thought it was really cool. So I emailed them and I said, hey, congratulations on the great book. I think it's beautiful. Should I ever be able to be of service to you, we could work together, and I just think it's great. And there was a real shift in me doing that and me releasing and actually sharing a positive feedback to, we don't do that enough. We don't tell each other what great work we do, and we don't follow each other. And that was a big change for me. She came back instantly and she was like, let's work together, let's do this. And ever since, I've been connecting with authors and other artists and creatives that I just think do a great job. And the more compliments I send out, the more I get back. Yeah, I think it was that moment when I realized that there's more than enough to go around. And, my work might not necessarily resonate with everybody, but that's not to say that their work won't. And so if we all promote each other and help each other and lift each other up, you achieve so much more than trying to do it by yourself. I quite often use a metaphor. I really like triangles. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like an Egyptian past life thing, but I love them. And I quite often use the metaphor of birds of a feather and how they flock in the form of a triangle. And they all take turns at the front, and the power of them all flapping together makes them get to sky high and their destination. And I really bid people, particularly if you're a writer, to find your flock and to support each other, follow each other on Facebook, share positive compliments, email each other high fives, and really get behind each other. Because, when you get to a point where you've got a book released, it is much easier if you're blogging as a team. So for me, I'm lucky. I'm surrounded by a group of like-minded authors who, like me, gave each other positive feedback, and we all work together and we all promote each other's books. And it's so much more powerful. And, I know that someone will finish my book and they'll want to read the next book, and I have no problems recommending. The moment if you go to Amazon, you can see my book, and then you'll see The Soul Searcher's Handbook, and then Adventures for Soul, and then Light is the New Black, Big Magic, and... Because people are always going to need to read. They're always going to be looking for their next thing to follow. So why wouldn't you promote people that you just admire? So I think out of everything, out of all my travels, out of everyone I've met and learnt from, I actually taught myself the most empowering lesson of all.
Great.
I love that.
You guys are so quiet. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's, yeah, I love those words. I mean, I think it's all about helping others and promoting them, and it just feels good. I mean, that's what we've been all about in My Empowered World, and it's just, you know, it's exciting to see your success. You know, I was just so excited to read your book, and it's an amazing book, and I understand why you're, you know, number one best-selling author. I see it. I saw it at Barnes & Noble over the holidays, and it just made, like, I was really excited for you. I think I emailed you a few times just saying congrats. You know, I think it's just, it's cool. I love to see people being doing great things and also being successful at it. It's exciting stuff, you know. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And like I said, it's been such an honor to have your guys' support, and My Empowered World has been such a big part of that. And, you know, walking my talk, should any of your listeners now ever want to reach out and get some support, I will pay it forward and help you out. That's what we do for each other, and that's part of being part of My Empowered World community.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's so cool.
Now,
go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, let me, so what would be the top tip for a new soul searcher, new to the holistic living?
I would say to be curious and to stay open. So the number one rule about soul searching is that you make the rules. No one can tell you how to best live your life or how to live your life well. There are no rules, as far as I can see, about spirituality. You can believe in as many or as less or as often faith, religions, lifestyles as you like. And that's the beauty about living in 2016 is that you can take what you like from everything you like and leave the rest. So my tip for a soul searcher is stay curious, stay open.
Very cool. I have a question for you. We have everyone's journey is unique, but for yourself, all these different modalities that you've explored, like numerology, aromatherapy, and so forth, what's been kind of your go-to? What's been the one or two or so that have really worked well for you and that you find yourself continuing to go back to?
I have two. So I really am big into meditation. So I do transcendental meditation, which is 20 minutes twice a day, which I love. And I can feel, if I haven't done my meditation, I'm cranky. Like, I can see the difference in me. And also aromatherapy. So aromatherapy is such a cool one because people don't notice if you're smelling good. You know, it's not going to make you look woo-woo if you smell nice. And there's so many awesome ways to sort of incorporate essential oils into your day, whether you drop them onto your pillowcase for when you sleep, or into a bath, or onto your pulse points. It's an easy, no-fuss, simple way to sort of add a quick dab of spirituality into your everyday life. So, yeah, I love to smell like a goddess.
Very cool. Awesome. Yeah, actually, I just got one of those oil diffusers a couple months ago, and I just love it. I actually met someone at the CES show that makes those, and they're actually coming out with a new brand of essential oils, because one thing they mentioned that's an issue, and I've kind of seen it before because I've been kind of confused in the marketplace, is there's all these different essential oils out there, but, you know, what's what? What are they used for? Some people say, oh, you can't ingest those. That's topical only. And, yeah, so supposedly they're coming out with a new line here in a few weeks that's going to have really clear labeling and explain all that. But maybe you can help shed some light on essential oils and ways that you use them and any certain brands that you like and so forth.
Yeah, well, I am a really mixed bag, so I like a whole range of different oils, and I'm constantly sort of testing and trying out new ones. But I have a soft spot for lavender. I really like it on my pillow at night. It helps me rest. I can get myself pretty wound up and find it hard to sleep sometimes. Being creative, I'm always getting ideas, and quite often I have to, you know, be told it's time to go to sleep because I always keep working and I love what I do. So So lavender especially helps me unwind. I also find too, you know, particularly if you're stuck in traffic quite a lot, traffic jams can be quite stressful. Road rage can really not be a great start to the day. So, you know, make your car a sanctuary and add some really nice essential oils so that you've got a really nice environment for you when maybe you're stuck in traffic. Yeah, people forget that you can take aromatherapy with you in a car and have your room smelling like, you know, your car smelling like your lounge at home. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually got a great diffuser that plugs into the cigarette lighter or power, whatever they're calling them nowadays. And you just put a little, I have lavender in my car actually, and just drop a few drops on this little paper that you insert in it, and you just leave it on for a few hours, and it's wonderful. It's awesome.
It sounds so good. Let's go for a road trip.
It's perfect. Yeah, I actually drove to Las Vegas and used it all the way there and all the way back. It's nice and relaxing for sure. Definitely it does that, has that unwinding effect.
Yeah,
I agree.
Exactly. When everyone's in road rage and flipping the bird, you're sort of giving everyone a hang ten because you're feeling the vibes of your car. It's so much better.
Now, I think, Emma, in one of your videos, I saw you, you were talking about that in one of your interviews on like some Good Day TV show. You were talking about feng shui in the car, I think it was, or I saw it on something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was on the breakfast news the other day, feng shui in car, and sort of giving people some tips on how to sort of add their sanctuary or spiritual living to their car. And I mentioned, you know, aromatherapy, having some sort of focal point. So for me, I have a car mala, which is obsidian, which is a crystal that helps with protection. So I feel a little bit safer driving around. Yeah, good vibes. Music is really important. So if I've had a crap day, you'll probably see me zip past you in my car with my car mala, my aromatherapy, and blasting, you know, Pharrell Happy out the window. I think we forget how many tools we have to help us feel better and to help life be easy. And essentially, spirituality and New Age living, holistic, whatever you want to call it, woo-woo, you know, it's actually all just about living well and living an empowered life. So, you know, if you look at it that way and take the tools that you need to help you be happy and be well and live a life that fulfills you, then, you know, that's the key. Isn't that the key to it all?
Mm-hmm. I noticed for me, I'm definitely just working out, fitness, and I love music. I play music all day long while I work. It just kind of like, it definitely elevates my mood, you know, if I find a good song, I think I'll play that song 50 times until it's burned out. But like when I find that good song, it makes me feel really, really good. I'll just play it over and over and over again because I just love the way it makes me feel. So
yeah. You and I don't do the same like that. I thrash songs, yeah.
Yeah, and my friends go, oh, he's got a new song. He's going to burn it out. So, but it makes me feel really good. So I love it. But, well, Emma, we're getting close to the end of the show here. You know, you've had such a great ride with, you know, your book. You did, like, I think you just did a, was it a United States USA tour? Didn't you just finish that up recently?
I did. So I was lucky enough to, you know, speak at Lululemon stores across America and visit some really cool bookstores and meet some amazing people. And I'll be back in America in July and excited to announce that I'm already working on my second book. My publishers are putting me to work and that will be probably out around July or August as well. So I'm busy and it's exciting and it's proof to show you that, you know, this time next year, if you work hard and you believe in yourself, you can be here too. You know, I never would have dreamed that I would be here this time last year. And, you know, it's so empowering to share my story with everyone. And I hope everyone actually does leave feeling like they're going to go and kick down some doors in 2016.
Yeah. And so now where can everyone learn more about you and maybe just tell us your website domain name and just some of your social channels where people can get, start following you and learn more about, what you've got going, all the exciting stuff you're doing.
Definitely. So, apologies about my New Zealand accent. Craig or Evan, I might get you guys to repeat my URL. you can find me at emmamilden.com or thespiritualpa.com. You can find my book, The Soul Searcher's Handbook, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all good bookstores. It's actually on Urban Outfitters online at the moment, which is pretty exciting. I check all my emails personally. So should you feel inspired to want to reach out, please do. And you can find me on my website.
Great.
Absolutely. Very good. And Emma Milden is emmamildon.com for our listeners out there. And, of course, you can find Emma on My Empowered World as well. And she's been contributing some awesome content since we've had her on over the past probably, year and a half or so? Maybe it's been 2 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it would be about 2 years. It's exciting.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It has been such a pleasure. And, I'm stoked to get to talk to you after 2 years. And honored to be part of the My Empowered World team.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Oh, likewise. Big love. That's so cute.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to meeting you when you come into town, so that will be fun. We'll all get together up in L.A. and we'll have lunch. I'm looking forward to it, so. It'll be great to finally meet.
That sounds amazing. Perfect. Sounds good. All right.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
All
good
right.
luck. And thank you,
thank
everyone
you,
who listens. Cool.
All right. See ya. Thank you.